Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we begin a new series looking at the book of James. And our subject for today is having joy in the midst of trials. Our speaker today is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
All right, well, good morning, men. And welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you. And we want to give a shout out to the guys that are joining us online. So that very warm, rousing welcome that we give each week on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hoorah! Hoorah.
Welcome, men. We're glad to have you with us. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of James. It's kind of like the Proverbs of the New Testament, if you will. We're going to start a series on that this morning. J.K. Gresset said, God prepares great men for great tasks by great trials. I have this in a list of quotes that I refer to over and over again. This morning, in our beginning message in the book of James, we're going to be talking about facing trials of many kinds. We're going to be looking from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let me go ahead and read this to you. James, and this is the brother of Jesus, most people think. I happen to agree. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so would he be James? James, would he be Jesus' older brother or younger brother? That's a trick question. He'd have to be younger, right? Otherwise, it's not a virgin birth. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So there's been this diaspora, this spreading of the Jewish peoples throughout the different nations. And so James is writing to all of the Jewish Christians, wherever they are in the world. He continues, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Consider it pure joy. What is the it that James is talking about? This it. James here is talking about the circumstances in which you find yourself. You've heard people say, and it's a very popular Christian slogan, it's not about you, it's not about you. I think it might be better to say it's not only about you. It is definitely about you in some sense, right? And so your circumstances are very important to God, they're very important to you, they're very important to your family. The different kinds of circumstances that we can find ourselves in are, for example, recovering from a hurricane, a natural disaster, or it could be a man-made disaster where somebody's messed up their life. Maybe it's somebody in your family, they've messed up your life, and of course that's affecting the entire family. It could be an automobile accident that creates some acute short-term pain or some long-term chronic pain, right? Maybe 4 years long, so far, of chronic pain. It could be a catastrophe. It could be a crisis. It could be something that is going to be lasting for the rest of your life. It could be something that might be fixable if you apply the right amount of energy. But anyway, it's your circumstances, and we all face trials of many kinds. We just do. That's just life. That's the it that James is talking about here. And so the first thing I want us to do is I want us to talk about, okay, well, what should we expect? What's our natural set of expectations? Trials are baked into our circumstances. They're part of the deal. Trials are baked into our circumstances. Several verses, Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul writes, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said in John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that you may, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. but take heart, I've overcome the world. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So trials are baked into our circumstances. It's the law of expectations that we're talking about here, because if you have the right expectation about something, so we had, for Hurricane Ian, we had a text from our power company that our power would be back on Sunday night by midnight. Well, our power wasn't back on Sunday night by midnight. So we weren't 4 days without power. We ended up going 5 days without power. So that was what? That was disappointing, right? But on the other hand, the internet service, they told us it would be on by midnight the following night, and it was on by 10 a.m. And so we were excited. We do men's events. We've done 1,300 men's church seminars around the country. And the leaders that are putting these events together, they're excited about it. They're ambitious. But they always, not always, but they tend to overestimate the number of men that will be at the event. And so they say, well, we're going to have 200 men at our event. We're going to have 200 men at our event. And then they have 100 men at their event. And they're just like so despondent about it. They're so despondent about it. And so one of the things we try to do is to help them manage their expectations. Okay, for a church your size, you really should plan on about 75 or 80 men. 75 or 80 men. No, we're going to have 200 men. Well, yeah, but you're going to be disappointed if you have 70, 80 men, and which is probably what you should have. And so it's all about the idea of managing expectations, the law of expectations. And in the kingdom of God, we should expect that there will be trials of many kinds. It's baked into creation. You've heard me say this before. The fall, it's because of the fall. The fall is an offense to reason. It is. It just grates on your nerves. The fall is it's an offense to human reason. But once accepted, it makes perfect sense of the human condition. And so the big idea today is this: joy is the attitude of the man who understands the larger purpose of what God is doing in his circumstances. Joy is the attitude of the man who understands the larger purpose of what God is doing in his circumstances. In other words, the man who has a set of expectations that's aligned with Scripture. So you might want to take a picture of it. It's so many words. I just couldn't figure out how to make it any shorter than that. I'm so sorry. But actually, you could still remember it. I mean, it just joys the attitude of the man who understands the larger purpose of what God's doing in his circumstances. Okay, and then you'll see it again a time or two. So, what then if we should expect struggles, sufferings, hardships, trials, tribulations? Well, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of that? And trials are how we grow. The second thing we want to talk about today, the purpose here is that trials are how we grow. Chuck Colson told the story in the book Kingdoms in Conflict, an older book, that in a Nazi concentration camp in Hungary, the several hundred Jewish prisoners were forced every day to go to a factory where they would take human waste and garbage and convert it into alcohol that was used to help fuel the Nazi war machine. And horrific conditions, emaciated bodies, poor health, just everything was wrong about it. But they did their work. Then one day, the Allied forces bombed the factory and turned it into rubble. The next day, the commandant of the Nazi concentration camp, assembled these few hundred Jewish prisoners and forced them to take the rubble, the sand, put it into wheelbarrows from one end of the factory lot, and then wheel it down to the other end and empty it. The next day, made the prisoners put the sand back in the wheelbarrows, transport it to back to where it had come from in the beginning, and dump it out. And the next day, and so on and so forth, and basically doing meaningless work. Well, after a few days, one older man just began to sob uncontrollably because it was meaningless work. Even when he was making alcohol and doing this terrible work to fuel the Nazi war machine, at least there was purpose to it. But this was meaningless work, and he began to sob. And a day or two later, one young man decided he couldn't take it anymore. He decided he wanted to escape, and he began to run towards the electrified fence. And the guards were saying, "Stop, stop, stop, stop." But he kept running anyway and ran into the fence and grabbed hold of the fence. And it electrocuted him, and he died. And you could see the smoke rising off of his body. And over the next few days, men just began to fall down in heaps and sob and were hysterical because of this meaningless work. You and I can do almost anything. We can handle almost any amount of adversity, almost any amount of trial, if we feel like there's a purpose for it. So there is a purpose for the trials that we go through, and it's so that we might grow. James 1:4, back to our text. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You know, the whole Christian enterprise, if you think about it, it's about bringing you to spiritual maturity and then equipping you so that you can help other people know God and come to spiritual maturity. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15. I just can't say everything about everything every time. I would love to take that passage and go through it with you this morning, but the point is that bringing you to spiritual maturity, that's the whole Christian enterprise. That's what's going on here. It's helping you mature in Christ so that you can help others mature in Christ and be mature in Christ. It's not about you, it's about them, but it's also about you too, you see. And we see it elsewhere. Peter, not only does James talk about it, Peter talks about it. Peter writes, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of their faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There is purpose because they help you grow. And then Paul. So we have James, we have Peter, and then we have Paul. This is a fairly well-known text to perhaps some of you. He writes, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So growth, our trials, the purpose of our trials is to help us grow. So back to the big idea then. So joy then is the attitude of the man who understands that the larger purpose of what God is doing in his circumstances is to help us grow. It's to help us grow. It's to help us mature, to become all that he has intended for us. And then, what is the attitude then? There's really only one best way to respond. There's really only one best way to respond to that. But there are many ways that you can respond, and this is the positive thinking mode. This is the the way that the world would respond to trials of many kinds. It's positive thinking. Okay, you know, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Who said that? Anybody know who said that? Nietzsche, the father of nihilism, Friedrich Nietzsche. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. You've seen this on t-shirts, right? What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. That's positive thinking, right? How about this one? If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. Who said that? Anybody? That's Rudyard Kipling. His father was a Methodist. Kipling's father was a Methodist pastor who didn't believe in God. Interesting, huh? The only easy day was yesterday. Who said that? That's the SEALs, right? That's one of the SEAL mottos, right? So everybody has trials of many kinds. We just do. We have to face trials of many kinds. And if you don't have God in your life, if you don't understand what's going on, then you need to have some philosophy of life that basically says, you know, it's positive thinking. You know, if it doesn't kill me, it's going to make me stronger. You know, these bromides, you know, if I can believe it, I can achieve, and all this. Basically, it comes down to this whole existential idea, so try to be brave. You know, things are really hard, and, you know, so try to be brave. That's what you will get from a counseling session with somebody who didn't have a godly way of looking at things. Dostoevsky said this. He said, to not believe in God is to be condemned to a senseless universe. If you don't believe in God, then the only thing left is to try to be brave, to substitute positive thinking for an actual attitude. That's biblical. So, I said there's only one best way to respond. James chapter 1, it gives us that response. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. And then 1 Peter. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. It's the normal expectation. The purpose of these things is so that we may mature, and the attitude is this attitude of joy. And then in Romans, Paul, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings for all the reasons we said before. Psalm 118, verse 24, one of the three verses, by the way, that almost created me from believing that Christianity could be true. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, this whole idea of having an attitude of joy in the midst of suffering, it just doesn't make any, it's a counterintuitive idea, right? It's counterintuitive. But here, the word rejoice in the Hebrew, it can be understood as a feeling or as an attitude. It's a decision that we can make. In other words, it can be a feeling, but it can also be a decision that we make to have the attitude that James is talking about. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. So this is the day, and almost every day, I actually say this verse at the beginning of, my wife and I pray out loud together every day. I'm not going to ask you if you do that, but I'd encourage you to do that. Not many men do. Not many men feel comfortable. It doesn't. We maybe a minute, two tops of praying, and I'm the one that prays because she didn't like to pray out loud, you know. So every now and then I'll ask her to do it anyway. But But it's basically me praying, and we have a few things that we pray for, about 15 or 20 things we pray for, and, you know, just. But I say this verse at the top. This is the day that you have made, Lord. We rejoice and are glad in it. And sometimes I'll say, today, Lord, it's just out of discipline. I'm not feeling it, okay? And then 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 19. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. God's will for you is to rejoice always. That's His will. And it goes on in the next verse, which most people don't include when they talk about it, do not quench the Spirit. Because when we don't follow God's will, when we don't rejoice always, when we don't pray without ceasing, when we don't give thanks in all circumstances, we're not doing God's will. And when we're not doing God's will, that does quench the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and what? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I always like to add in, because that list should be looked at as representative, not comprehensive. So, humility, wisdom, integrity, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, consider all joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So the idea here is that you don't really have to use your own power to be joyful. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit. A woman was reading Micah chapter 3, verse 2. Actually, it was a woman's Bible study. They were reading Micah chapter 3, verse 2, where Jesus is foretold as a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire. And one of the women was curious about this, so she decided to go to the shop of a silversmith. She didn't tell the silversmith why she was there, just that she wanted to observe. He took a piece of silver, raw silver, and he had made a very hot fire, and he put the silver in the hottest part of the fire. And he told her, the reason I'm doing that is that it needs to go into the hottest part of the fire, because that's how I burn the impurities out of this raw silver. After a while, she noticed that he was sitting there, and so she said, well, do you sit here and watch the silver being refined the whole time? Oh, yes, I have to stay here the whole time, because if I don't and the silver goes too far, the refining process goes too far, it will destroy the silver. So I have to stay here the whole time to do that. So she watched a little longer, and then she said, well, how do you know when the silver has been refined? He said, oh, well, that's easy. He said, when I can see my reflection in the silver, I know that it has been perfected. And that's the way that God is working with you and with me in our circumstances. He's refining us. He's maturing us. We're growing. He never takes His eye off of you, even when you're in the hottest part of the fire, because He knows that if He takes His eyes off you, you might be destroyed. And then He also knows how long to leave you on there in that particular trial. And as soon as He can see His reflection in you, knowing that you are being conformed to the image of Jesus, that's when He knows it's time to take you off that particular trial. And it's because of our faith that Jesus is watching over our lives. Unlike the existentialist who says, well, I guess I need to be brave here. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is understand that we have the Spirit in us and respond in joy, knowing that we can consider it all joy when we face trials of many kinds, because the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And He's making us mature. The big idea for the day: joy is the attitude of the man who understands the larger purpose of what God is doing in his circumstances. Let's pray. Our dearest Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful book, this great passage, this great reminder. I do pray for my brothers here in the room and that will hear this online, that you would seize our hearts with this idea that no matter how hot the fire, you're sitting there watching. And you are maturing us, and you're waiting until you can see your reflection. And because we can know that you would help us to believe that, and because we believe that we could have the attitude of joy, that we could rejoice always in everything, knowing that you are in control. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.